Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me a share of the property that belonged to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the fields, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, 'What is going on?' He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and he has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Always a privilege to be asked to preach, so I will give my thanks to Karen, but also to Jim, who said, "Why don't you preach?" And I'll do the other part. So that means I all of my energy has been able to be directed to this moment, this time, this place, and you, the gathered people of God. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. When he came to himself. And the Gospel of Thomas, Logian 67. Jesus says, if you come to know all, yet you yourself are lacking, you have missed everything. So this morning's Gospel of Luke, Jesus uses the parable of what we usually call the prodigal son to answer the complaint put forth by the Pharisees and scribes about Jesus' behavior in eating with sinners and outcasts. It's a behavior that's not allowed by the strictest Jewish law, as we all know, and that was appalled the Pharisees and the scribes. They were appalled by the looseness of Jesus' observance of the traditions. Luke puts together three examples of how important seeking out the lost is to the work of God. The shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to find the one that is lost, and when he returns with the lamb, calls everyone to rejoice with him. The story of the woman who searches diligently for a lost coin and calls together her neighbors to celebrate its finding. And then, finally, he tells the story of the man who had two sons. One who squanders his inheritance on wine, women, and song, and finds himself starving, and the other who remains at home, faithfully working. The celebration for the return of the wayward son is over the top. Luke's interest here, Luke, the writer of the gospel, seems to be on emphasizing the importance of seeking the lost, and of celebrating the finding. And that's a good and valuable lesson, and certainly an appropriate response to the Pharisees' and scribes' criticisms. But I wonder if there is more to be mined from this story than what we heard this morning. It's a story that involves a trinity, a father, and two sons. And that, in fact, is how Jesus introduces it. The trinity is the mechanism of creation. That very structure of the trinity is the mechanism of creation. And so more is at work here in the dynamic between these three. Something new is being created. And we can all identify with the characters in the story. The son who goes astray. Most of us have some account of that in our lives. The father who worries. Those of us who are parents or can even imagine what that might be like. And is ecstatic when his son returns. And the son who is diligently at home engaging in his work. The dutiful son. And we've all been that too. The key moment in this parable, which turns all of the energy around, happens when the young man comes to himself. Everything unfolds from that event. He stops. He asks the question, "What on earth am I doing here?" He pays attention, and then he acts in a different direction. He has just started on the road that will lead him to uncover his true godly self, a process that we only see at its beginning. Now, recently, George and I watched a TV show in which the main character is a doctor who is a Syrian refugee. And I couldn't remember the name of the show. George, you remember the name of the show? Transplant. Thank you. Transplant's the name of the show. Okay, he ends up working in the ER of a busy hospital because he's been a doctor in Syria and he's worked in wartime. And he's very good at what he does. A man comes to the ER complaining that he can hear his heart beating. the first, the doctors think it might be tinnitus, you know, that ringing in our ears that so many of us have as we get older. But he decides to run some tests. Before the results come in, the man collapses and his heart stops. After 20 minutes of resuscitation, they bring him back. And at first he is angry because all of this has messed up his day. I mean, he works and he's got his phone in his hand and he's texting and he's trying to manage his life and he's always looking at his phone. And eventually he calms down and just sits in the hospital bed stunned, absolutely stunned. I'm beginning to realize that I have not done much with my life. I need to change. The man comes to himself. Now, what does it take for us to come to ourselves? Take just a moment. Where are you now? Maybe you are partly listening to me and thinking about lunch or getting together with friends or the friend you want to meet this week, the email that no one responded to, the Ukrainian-Russian war. Our heads are filled with all kinds of stuff. Are you here in this moment? Can you come to yourself? What does it take to get to that point? I believe it takes something that we don't really want. A shocking event in our lives. Like the man whose heart inexplicably stopped, like the son who was starving, or the other son who found himself jealous and angry. Now, over these last 2 years, most of us are privileged enough to have had a place to live, a regular income, reasonably good health, access to vaccines, and other supports in this community. COVID-19 has been a shock to our ongoing lives. It made us stop. And for some, that unwanted gift has been opened. And yes, of course, I know that many folks have lost loved ones to this disease or suffered greatly from isolation and mental illness. And there's a whole other sermon on that. I'm not going to preach that today. But many folks have mentioned to me how this plague has caused them to stop and assess their lives, to come to themselves. It has awakened their desire to discover, uncover, their true and abiding self that lives beyond death. They're asking good questions. They're observing, praying, and assessing what changes they need to make. They are engaging in practices that do that inner work. Coming to yourself has a profound effect, not only on your personal life, but on the whole community. This is not just about being an individual and everything for yourself. It's about, my friends, the planet. It's about all of us. It's about the cosmos. For the spirit that flows from that attention, that intention, that awareness is profound and wide-reaching. The elder son of the parable never quite gets there. He is dutiful. He fulfills his obligations. He has all the gifts of love of the Father, but he doesn't know it. He thinks that his faithful behavior is earning him that love. And until his younger brother returns, he likely thinks he's going to get the whole rest of the estate and be in charge, and so on. He's lost in the illusion that he is in charge of his life and his destiny, that he can earn his inheritance. The story doesn't tell us if he came to himself, although the opportunity is there, like many of us. He is desiring to be someplace or someone who he is not. And the Father serves as the anchor for this trinity of a new creation. The son's actions create new possibilities in their lives as they center themselves on their father's love. St. Ambrose wrote on this Gospel of Luke, suggesting that departing from the Father is really a departure from ourself. Both sons depart from their true God-given selves, but in different ways. Both fail to see more is at work in their lives than their focus on themselves, until the younger son comes to himself, not as the locus of life, but as the source and power of saying yes to the love that has been given to him. The larger community of God is discovered in the acceptance of the gift of God's life in, among, and through us. We need to come to ourselves. And that especially applies to the church. As a whole, all of the church has been significantly challenged by this COVID shock. And the church in the United States, even more so. The necessary changes have challenged us and pushed us into new ways of being. Many clergy are at a breaking point because this isn't what they signed up for. Laity are vocal about what they like and don't like. We all long for a return to the way things were. But the question is, will we come to ourselves? Will we do the spiritual work required to change? Now, Jesus told this parable to, and Luke included it, for a developing community of faith. He invites us to ask ourselves, how have we squandered our inheritance? How have we just assumed that things would go on forever as they always have? How have we spent our spiritual capital on our own needs? How are we going to eat with outcasts and sinners? How are we going to come to what Thomas Merton called our true self? The truth is that the church, for centuries, has failed in many ways to live into Jesus' mission of profound, generous, open, and abundant love. We hoard our resources instead of sharing them because we think they belong to us, instead of seeing that they are part of the inheritance of God's abundant love. We are lost, but like the elder brother, we often don't know it. Will we perpetuate that pattern? Will we insist on things being exactly as they were once we get past this crisis? The longing for normal is so strong. How can the church come to herself, actually be the church of Jesus Christ, who showed us that by not clinging to old ways of being and by letting go of our individual need, we walk the way of the cross, which is the path to transforming love. As our rector Karen is fond of reminding us, our time on this planet is short. That patient on the TV show collapsed again and couldn't be revived. His realization came too late to do anything about it. Jesus says, if you come to know all and yet you yourself are lacking, you have missed everything. The Father waits for us to come to ourselves, which means returning to our identity in the living God. The Father waits for us to wake up and come home to the party. Amen.